A Your Vote 2012 conversation with Bruce Poliquin, Republican for U.S. Senate. Bruce Poliquin is a former candidate for governor who now serves as Maine's state treasurer. As one of six Republicans vying for his party's nomination in the Senate race next month, Poliquin is hoping that his message as a true conservative committed to rooting out wasteful government spending will resonate with GOP voters. Poliquin grew up in Waterville, attending Phillips Academy in Andover, and then Harvard, before entering the private financial sector. I'm Keith Shortall. Today we'll talk with Bruce Poliquin about why he's running and which issues he believes are on the minds of Maine Republicans in 2012. Join the conversation, email talk@mpbn.net, tweet @MaineCalling, post a message on the Maine Calling Facebook page, or call 1-800-399-3566. Bruce Poliquin, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. This is Maine Calling. And Bruce Poliquin, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Keith. Appreciate it very much.
Just to be clear, I'm in Portland, and you're at the State House complex in our MPBN studios up there. We're not in the same room. But through the wonders of technology, we sound like we are. We said at the top here that I think you were described as a true conservative. What is a true conservative, and how are you that?
First of all, Keith, I'm a true conservative because I believe government is too big and too expensive. when you have that situation like we have in Maine and like we have in Washington, you have to have high taxes and fees to pay for a government that's too big and too expensive. And that drives capital formation, businesses offshore, and the folks that get hurt are the folks that are looking for jobs because jobs aren't created. So if you look at what's been going on, Keith, in the last 4 years, for example, down in Washington, career politicians down there have spent approximately $1 trillion more than they've collected from us in tax revenues. That's for each of the last 4 years. And they make up the difference by borrowing the money or, worse, printing the money. And so now what we have down in D.C. is a $16 trillion national debt. And the scary part about that is that the interest payments, the annual interest payments on that $16 trillion in debt is approximately $225 billion per year that's pulled out of the private sector economy that can't be used to create jobs. And those interest payments are at when interest rates are at historic lows. So when interest rates start to rise again, those interest payments are going to explode. And so when it comes to being a true conservative, Keith, it simply means, in my opinion, that you have to bring, in my case, experience for 35 years in the private sector to state government, to the federal government, where you spend only what you take in, you borrow only what you need, you pay off your debt, and you create an environment where businesses can thrive, create jobs to keep our kids here.
So of the six of you in that Republican primary, I'm sure there are other Republicans who are also against wasteful government spending. But you're saying it's really more about how tenacious you'll be about ferreting this out?
Well, it's really about experience. not all of the candidates, Keith, have been in the private sector for their entire lives. I have until 3 years ago when I ran for governor. So not only do I have private sector experience, knowing how to build companies, how to create jobs, I know what environment needs to be created to have businesses invest their money, their savings to create jobs. And on top of that, I'm the only candidate who has a track record of dealing with these issues real time in state government. As state treasurer, for example, I joined forces with Governor LePage and a small group of other individuals to reform our state's pension plan for our teachers and our state workers. Now, when we came into office about 16 months ago, we had a $4.1 billion shortfall in that retirement plan for our teachers and our state workers. And so what we did is we reformed the program. We slowed down the rate of growth of the benefits being offered to the participants and new folks coming in the system. We asked them to retire at 65 instead of 62. Now, what that did, Keith, is it eliminated $1.7 billion of that pension debt. That's debt we will not have to pay as taxpayers. And the importance of that is that that allows us to spend roughly $200 million less per year going forward. So other folks can talk about cutting spending. I've been working hand in hand with Governor LePage and other folks here in state government, eliminating debt, helping to cut spending. And of course, the legislature then put this in the mix and they were able to pass the biggest tax cut in the history of the state of Maine. There's no other candidate who has this sort of experience in the private sector, in particular in the financial services sector, where I spent most of my time, and at state government, making sure that we get our fiscal house in order.
And I would guess that you also would hold up the Maine State Housing Authority scrutiny as another example of that, of an achievement.
Well, I don't look at it as an achievement, Keith. I look at it, it's about time someone in state government is looking out for the taxpayers. And one thing that I have absolutely no patience for is wasteful spending of someone else's money. Remember, the money that flows through Treasury that we deal with every day here in Augusta is not state government's money. It's the taxpayers' money. So when I sit on the board of a number of these quasi-independent authorities, like the Maine State Housing Authority, and I discover that we're spending almost $300,000 for an 1,100-square-foot apartment for those who desperately need housing, and the median household income in the state of Maine is $159,000, I ask questions. We're holding people accountable. And when that happens, of course, you upset people. So I don't think I look at it as a victory. I look at it as a shame that we've been wasting that kind of money for a long period of time. Here's the good news, Keith, is that in working with the governor's office, we have now replaced board members at Maine State Housing Authority. We now have 5 out of 9 votes. We control the agenda, and we are changing the rules by which these apartments are built to drive down the cost so we can put more people in these apartments who would desperately need them and also save taxpayer money.
All right, I'm going to ask you one political question before we move into sort of the major issues on the minds of voters and what you would how you would address them. You're mentioning these accomplishments. Are you not concerned that some of the other headlines that you've garnered, for example, from the tree growth controversy or from business earnings and whether they ran afoul of whether you should be allowed to work as a state treasurer. We won't get into the details of these, but these have been stories that have come up over the recent weeks and months. And also even today, there is one about moving around about you recycling campaign material from the governor's race into the Senate race. And I'll ask you about that in a moment. But are these not distractions away from your achievements in Augusta?
Well, they're distractions, Keith, if you let them be. Remember, anybody can file a complaint, even you. And if you look at the complaints that have been filed, they all come from one source, the Maine Democratic Party and their surrogates. Each of these issues has been dealt with. They've all been dismissed. I go straight ahead telling the truth to the people of Maine, saving money where I can, and advocating for the folks who pay the bills, the taxpayers.
Yeah, and let me just follow up on that one issue that's emerged about recycling TV ad campaign material from the governor's race into now the Senate race, which some have said is an FEC violation. Can you comment on that?
No, I can't. It's the first time I've heard about it.
Okay. Let's get to some of the issues and the economy. Number one on the minds of many Mainers, what can Congress do, if anything, to invigorate the U.S. economy?
It can do 5 different things, Keith. And if I'm so honored to represent the great state of Maine and the people of Maine down in Washington, there are 5 things I will do as quickly as I can. Number one, vote to repeal Obamacare. And the reason for that is not only is it unconstitutional, in my opinion, but the Supreme Court will decide that, but also, yeah, if it stands, taxes will go up to pay for that for the increased primarily Medicaid coverage. Second of all, it will put a bureaucrat between the patient and a government bureaucrat between the patient and the doctor. So that's the first thing I'll do. Second thing is work tirelessly to get our fiscal house in order. That means substantial, dramatic cuts in spending such that we balance our budget by cutting spending. I'll also promote as part of that a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. The Constitution's been amended 27 times, Keith. We can do it a 28th time. I don't need to see any more than I've seen during my lifetime where career politicians who are looking first to get reelected can't control their spending. They have an addiction to spending. We need to give them an institutional tool to control their spending, which would be a balanced budget amendment. And the third part of getting our fiscal house in order is a credible plan to start paying off the debt. That is absolutely critical. And if we can start doing those things in particular, balancing our budget and paying off our debt, investors will start having more confidence in investing their funds into this economy, into the United States of America, to create jobs for our folks. So I mentioned repeal Obamacare, a vote to repeal it, getting our fiscal house in order. The next thing, Keith, would be to promote an energy policy here in the country that looks to reduce the cost of energy. Now, what we've done over the past 10 or 20 years is started to fall in love with the alternate forms of energy. I'm fine with that as long as it reduces the cost of energy. If you look at our deposits of natural gas and oil here in America, some say that we have a couple hundred years of those reserves. If we can fully develop those, what we'll do is we'll create a lot of jobs, also drive down the cost of energy, which helps our businesses grow and create jobs. And also, it's a national security issue such that we don't rely on folks in the Middle East who don't like us on oil revenues over there.
Would you support the controversial pipeline projects, Keystone, for example?
Absolutely. Look what we're doing here in Maine. We now have very high energy costs in Maine. So instead of falling in love with windmills, for example, that do not reduce the cost of energy, what I'm doing is working very closely with the governor's office, dealing with financiers in New York primarily, and also with utility construction companies in the Rocky Mountain states to come to Maine to expand and create a network of natural gas pipelines. Now, we already have natural gas in the state. It comes from Canada through Calais and about 30 miles along the coast down through Kittery and into the Boston hub. But we need to branch off and pull natural gas off that pipe to get them to some of our big off-takers, some of our paper companies, Maine General Hospital that's being built in Sydney, the government complex here in Augusta. If we can do that, Keith, we will drive down the cost of energy, which will help our businesses be successful, help our families lower their monthly heating bills. Very important.
Would you support offshore oil drilling anywhere in the U.S.?
Well, when you say anywhere, I'd have to look at specifically where you're talking about. I will say the following is that, yes, I will support drilling for oil and exploring and developing our natural gas fields here in America and offshore. We've over the years proven that we can do this in a very environmentally safe way. Remember, this is Maine. I spent four generations in Maine. I am the fourth generation. When I was a kid, Keith, growing up in Waterville, if you fell in the Kennebec River, you needed a tetanus shot. Now, I remember those days, and we've gone a long way to improve and clean up our environment here in the state, and we should continue to go down that path. However, quality of life also means a paycheck. And so we have to make it easier and cheaper to do business in this state, which will help our families and our businesses who employ our families.
Yeah, sorry. Would you support nuclear power? Do you support nuclear power?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're part of the environmental movement, for example, this is a type of energy, Keith, that has no carbon footprint. It consumes a small amount of land. We have virtually an unlimited supply of that fuel. We've been using nuclear power here in this country for 55 years with no deaths, including Three Mile Island, where the plant shut down as it was supposed to. So absolutely, we get about 19% of our energy, our electricity rather, from nuclear power in this country. France, for example, gets 80%. So there's no reason why we shouldn't do that here in this country, and I would certainly support that. Yes, sir.
All right. Bruce Poliquin is a Republican for U.S. Senate. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions. Share your thoughts. Email talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment on our Facebook page, or call 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back.
PRI's The World brings you more than just the day's news.
My uncle has a saying. He still lives in El Salvador. He says, when the United States gets a cold, in El Salvador we get pneumonia.
We introduce you to people around the globe.
Right now we're accepting all members throughout the world to be Canucks. We're actually running a feature in the paper called Canucks All Over the World. And we
join us and hear the world. Tune in for The World this afternoon at 3. Broadcast of Your Vote 2012 Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN listeners like you and by Garand Marketing and Communications, serving clients here and abroad from offices in Portland, Maine. The happiest people in business, Garand.com. By AARP Maine, working to protect Social Security and Medicare. More information online at aarp.org/me. And by Lammert Coffin, celebrating 25 years of delivering strategic legal counsel on issues and opportunities in Maine, with offices in Portland and Blue Hill.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today, a Your Vote 2012 interview with Bruce Poliquin, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. Join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Email talk@mpbn.net. Tweet at Maine Calling. Or post to our Facebook page. Mr. Poliquin, before we took the break, you'd said that you would vote for repeal of the Affordable Care Act. What would you replace that with, or what would you do to improve access and affordability of health care to Americans?
What we have to do, Keith, is introduce a private sector solution to the problem, like we're doing in Maine, for example. What we have done is defunded our failed Dirigo health plan that was supposed to insure a lot of people for very little money and has just failed miserably. So instead of pumping more money into that government-run program, we're defunding it and we're introducing competition such that folks that buy health insurance soon will be able to buy their policies across state lines. So they're not captured by one provider here in the state of Maine. We can do the same thing nationally. We need to make sure that we give folks an option to drive down the cost of health care and give them an affordable way to do that and improve care. Here's an example for you. Did you folks know that the federal employees, senators, congressmen, their staffs, and other federal employees, about 8 million of them and their dependents, have their own health care plan? It's called the Federal Employee Benefits Health Care Plan. And in that plan, Keith, there are about 250 specific health care plans that compete for the business from those 8 million folks in that program. Wouldn't it be nice if we opened up that program to, for example, our Medicare population and gave them the same opportunity to have choice, drive down price, and make sure we don't get a bureaucrat between them and their doctor?
Well, I was going to move on to Medicare from there. What would be your strategy for shoring up Medicare if indeed you think it might need that?
Well, first of all, we have to recognize the problem, Keith. And one of the things we've done in Maine and why I am well fit for Washington is I tell the truth. I do exactly what is right and what we should do, regardless of the criticism that comes my way. So let's tell the truth about Medicare. Medicare is now paying out more in benefits than it is collecting in payroll taxes to pay for those benefits. It's effectively insolvent. We have the same problem with Social Security. Now, Social Security, instead of being healthcare related, of course, it was designed to provide retirement benefits for those that are in their last years such that they don't fall into poverty. Social Security, just like Medicare, is also now paying out more in benefits than it's taking in taxes to pay for those benefits. So in both cases, we need to make sure we recognize the problem that both plans are insolvent. We had the same problem here in Maine with our retirement plan for our teachers and our state workers. We reformed it, made it more secure for the participants, and saved a boatload of money. We can do the same thing with Medicare, but what we have to do, Keith, is be honest. And the honest statement is the following. If you are older than 55 years old and you are dependent on Medicare, or you're in Medicare now, there should be no change to the benefits. However, if you are younger, we must be honest that we need to reform the benefits. They won't be as generous, and you're probably going to have to pay more into the system. That is the truth. We need to face up to this and solve it, because every month that we go by and we do not fix that problem, for example, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. 43%, Keith, of our federal budget, 43% of every federal tax dollar that is spent on Medicare, Medicaid, which is for the most unfortunate among us, health care for those folks, and Social Security, 43% of the budget. And without reforming those entitlements, we will go from budget crisis to budget crisis to budget crisis. We must reform those programs. We must deal with $16 trillion in debt. That can only happen, in my opinion, from someone who has extensive experience in finance and who has demonstrated the ability and the courage to get that done here in the state of Maine. Look at what we're doing now with the Medicaid program. Last year, it was the pension plan in the state of Maine, and we reformed it. Now, it is the Medicaid program. We have a huge program that consumes 27% of our entire population, and we can't afford it, Keith. And to the governor's credit, he is working very diligently with the legislature to try to right-size that program so we can afford it. The problems in Washington are the same that are up here. The numbers are just bigger.
Let's look at Social Security. Would you support, for example, increasing upping the age of eligibility or means testing? How, when you say reform, what specifically would you do for Social Security?
Well, I have to look at the details of the plan and how much of a financial mess that it's in. But I can tell you this, Keith, all of that would be on the table. And what you just mentioned almost is what we did here in Maine. We asked new folks coming into the system, the retirement system here in Maine, to retire at age 65 instead of 62. We can do the same thing in Social Security. We've slowed down the rate of growth of the benefits here for the plan in Maine. We can do the same thing down in Washington for Social Security. Remember, these programs need to be saved for the tens and tens and tens of millions of our senior citizens that are in these programs. And they've paid into these programs. We've got to save them. We can save them. But we need someone who has guts to look this problem in the eye and help deal with it.
1-800-399-356 to join the conversation with Bruce Poliquin, Republican for U.S. Senate. Let's go to Kenny Bunk. And I believe it's Craig. There it is. Craig, hi. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Bruce, I'm really glad to hear you talking about honesty, because as a Republican, one of the things that I feel the Republican Party has not been honest about is the cost of the war, two wars that we've just had, and that they were unfunded. And a balanced budget is great, but let's be honest with the American people that everybody who wanted this war, it's more than just putting a yellow bumper sticker on your car and saying, support our troops. What we really should have had is a war tax and bonds and spread the cost of this war out. And the part of the deficit is this war. So let's be honest with everybody. We wanted this war. We need to pay for it. It's the patriotic thing to do. And somebody should be saying there should be a tax to cover this war. So I hope that when you talk about honesty, somebody will get this ball rolling. And, you know, it's great to cut all these other programs, which need to be done. But, you know, if we're going to go out and send our troops, we should have the money to back it up and open up our wallets. And let's do the right thing.
Craig, that's a really good point. If I am so honored to be Maine's next United States Senator, Before I vote on any deployment of troops, I need to know a few things. Number one, very specifically, why are we committing our young men and women overseas to engage in battle? That's number one. Number two, I want to know what the specific on-the-ground objectives are such that we will know the benchmarks when we bring those kids home. Thirdly, what does it cost to the best of our estimation? And fourthly, we need to make sure that Congress weighs in such that these wars are approved by Congress. That is part of the Constitution. The last time Congress weighed in a declaration of war was the Second World War. I need to know those four things, Craig. Good for you.
Well, and that's all great for the future, but we still have the war at hand that hasn't been paid for. And somebody needs to stand up and go, you know what, this is more than a Saturday night football game at the local high school. These people, these troops of ours that have sacrificed, even though they volunteered, this needs to be paid for. And it's already, the money's been spent, and it really needs, there should be a tax to pay for this war. And that would, I think, put a light bulb up on everybody's head that this is reality. When I see kids who in high school who don't even know we're at war, that don't know there are young men and women dying, it just boggles my mind.
So. I have a 21-year-old son, Craig, and he's in college now, and I cannot even imagine him choosing to enter one of these wars. But as you say, we do have some tremendously brave young men and women who are volunteers and they're in the armed services. My heart goes out to them. As your next United States Senator, God willing, I will do everything I can to make sure that they are protected and they're given the tools they need to be successful and to come home safely.
Was our policy in Iraq and now in Afghanistan wise, do you think?
I think going into Afghanistan, Keith, was very wise. We were attacked essentially from training camps in Afghanistan, and we had to go in there, and we did. Iraq, it looks like that the purpose of going in there was mistaken based on all the data that I see. Of course, I don't see and you don't see the data that the folks down in Washington do that make these decisions. But what we have to make sure is that we are able to have countries that do not promote, do not harbor terrorists such they can attack the United States and our interest around the world. We must protect our country, and that is one of the oaths that is part of the oath that that anybody that serves in Congress takes, to uphold the Constitution and to protect our country. So we have to do that to the best of our ability, and one of the ways to do that is to make sure any countries that harbor terrorism and promote that is prevented any way we can.
1-800-399-3566 to join the conversations. We'll go back to the phones in a minute. A couple of social issue questions. Do you support the 1973 Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision?
I am a pro-life Catholic, Keith. That is my religion. I believe that the government is too big and too intrusive, and the federal government should not be involved in a lot of issues. The federal government should not be involved in the life issue. That should be left up to the states.
Do you support or oppose same-sex marriage?
I am a traditional marriage Catholic, and that's what I support. But again, I think the federal government does not belong there. It is clear in the 10th Amendment to the Constitution that as many decisions as possible should be left up to the people, and if not the people, the states, and only when the people in the states can't deal with it, then the federal government gets involved. Federal government should not be involved in those social issues. Should be left up to the states and people's conscience.
1-800-399-3566. Let's go to Auburn and Paul. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering what the candidate, what his major was in school and what is he currently reading?
Thank you very much. My major in school was economics, and what I read now are spreadsheets and policy papers.
That's fun at the beach, too, isn't it?
I read them all the time.
Paul?
It's called books. Because Who's the Leader Next Door or the Healing of America would be appropriate things to consider. Now, it seems to me that as one of the principal democratic countries in the world, we should at least have some kind of a public effort to take care of the medical products of the population. And if you don't have health, you don't have too much else.
Paul, you make a very good point. I have a wonderful set of parents. I absolutely adore them. Mom just turned 84, and Dad's about to turn 82. Mom fell about 2.5 months ago and broke her shoulder and had her complete shoulder replaced. She depends on Medicare. It is very important that we have health care for our seniors, and we keep that program going. I've got bad news, but I tell the truth, Paul. If we don't reform that program, those benefits are not going to be there for our seniors not too far down the road. So we need to make sure we face these problems head on, and we have to do that with courage and not worry about getting reelected.
Let's turn to taxes, if we could. Bruce Poliquin, Republican for U.S. Senate. Is the current tax structure fair? And if not, what would you change?
No, it is not fair. We ought to close loopholes, Keith, for everybody, whether it be individuals or corporations, and lower the tax rate for everybody and broaden the base such that we generate the taxes we need to fund our government. But one of the things, and I think it was Craig that asked, called in a little bit ago about telling the truth. Here's one of the pieces of information that folks have not told the truth about, or certainly haven't got it out there. On January 1, if nothing is done, $500 billion worth of taxes go up. There are roughly 50 separate taxes at the federal level that have been previously enacted. Tax cuts have been previously enacted over the years that are scheduled to expire, which will drive the largest tax hike in our country's history on January 1, if that's not prevented. Now, to tell you what that means to everybody, first of all, personal income tax rates across the board will go up, number one. Second of all, business taxes will go up. The reason why that's so important is because businesses employ people. And if they're paying more in taxes, they're less likely to hire more people. Thirdly, if you're receiving or you're a recipient of a student loan, the tax deductibility of those interest payments will become less beneficial on the first of the year. If you're a teacher, you right now can deduct $250 per year on personal expenses for books and pencils and paper and what have you that comes out of your own pocket. Well, if these taxes go up on the first of the year, you won't be able to do that anymore. The inheritance tax, the death tax, will spike from 35% to 55%, and it goes on and on and on, Keith. So the point is, we haven't been honest with the American people that if nothing is done about this, there is a $494 billion tax hike on those who need those tax cuts and those tax breaks right now, businesses who need those, students who need those, teachers who need those, family farms that need those tax breaks. They're all going up January 1 with the biggest tax cut, a hike rather, in history, unless something's done about it.
All right, we're going to take another short break. When we return, more of your comments and questions for Bruce Poliquin, Republican for U.S. Senate. Please stay with us.
As you know, many businesses and organizations in and around Maine join listeners in supporting various public radio programs on the MPBN radio service. To learn how your business can benefit from supporting MPBN, either on MPBN radio or on MPBN television, please visit our website, mpbn.net. Click on Business Support to find information about the value of sponsorship, answers to frequently asked questions, and contact information. You can also give us a call at 1-800-884-1717 and ask for Susan Tran. And of course, thank you for your support of public broadcasting here in Maine. Broadcast of Your Vote 2012 Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN listeners' support and by Garant Marketing and Communications, serving clients here and abroad from offices in Portland, Maine. The happiest people in business, Garant.com. And by AARP Maine, working to protect Social Security and Medicare. More information online at aarp.org/me. and by Lambert Coffin, celebrating 25 years of delivering strategic legal counsel on issues and opportunities in Maine, with offices in Portland and Blue Hill.
And welcome back. I'm Keith Shortall. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, a Your Vote 2012 interview with Republican candidate for U.S. Senate Bruce Poliquin, state treasurer and native of Waterville. Join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Email talk at mpbn.net. Post to our Facebook page or tweet at Maine Calling. We'll go to the phones in a moment. But Bruce Poliquin, one of the reasons that Senator Snow cited in announcing her retirement from the Senate was a frustration with what she perceived as a partisan polarity in Washington that was getting in the way of doing the people's business and a loss of civility in the U.S. Senate. Is that a real problem? Do you think she had a point? And if so, what would you do about that?
Well, Senator Snow has been a great service to the state of Maine. She's been down in Washington for, I guess, 33 years, and she knows a lot about that environment that I don't know. I can tell you this, Keith, is that when we came to Augusta, this new administration, 16 months ago, we were told that it was very partisan up here. I look at it a little bit differently. If someone looks at a problem and does your homework and understands it and tells the truth, explains it to the people of Maine, and then submits a common sense solution based on fact and on logic, then you passionately get enough people from the other side to join you so you can solve the problem. I don't look at that as partisan. I look at it as being a leader. What we need is leaders in public policy, whether it be at the state level, the federal level, or the government level. Folks who, in my case, I come from 35 years in the business community. Now, that brings a whole new set of skills that I'm bringing to state government, and I'd love to be able to bring to Washington because I think it'll help. But part of that is solving problems by being very convincing. You know, when I exposed the wasteful spending at Maine State Housing Authority, I can't tell you, Keith, how many folks said, "Bruce, I don't think you understand. This is a very ingrained, bureaucratic, quasi-independent authority run by former legislators. Stay away from that." I said, "Wait a minute, you just tell the truth." And we exposed it. We now have a new executive director, a new board, and we're saving boatloads of money. And what we're also doing is we're able to build more of these low-income apartments to help the 6,500 families on a waiting list. We did the same thing, Keith, with the pension fund. They said, "My goodness, Bruce, the two most powerful unions in the state of Maine are the teachers and the state workers. You're never going to be able to reform that." Well, we were able to present a common-sense solution, go directly to the people of Maine who put pressure on the legislature, and we were able to convince enough legislators to reform that program. Now we have a more secure program for the 75,000 folks in the program, and it's more affordable for the taxpayers. That's called leadership. That's what we need in Washington.
All right, let's go to Vassal Burrow and Art. Hi, Art. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to go back to the tax question, if I could. I wanted to know whether or not if you are, as a candidate, or if you are elected to Congress, you are going to become a slave of Grover Norquist by signing his pledge.
And I don't understand the question, Art.
You don't know Grover Norquist?
Oh, no, I do know Grover Norquist. Of course I do, yeah.
His pledge.
You bet, and here's why. We do not have a problem in this country with revenues. We already collect roughly $2.5 trillion per year in revenues. The problem we have, Art, with all due respect, sir, is spending. We spend roughly $3.5 trillion a year, but again, only take in $2.5 trillion, and we make up the difference by borrowing the money. This must stop. One of the reasons that we have a problem in this country is that we've been very aggressively in the last 4 or 5 years, moving more towards a Western European economy. Now, if the people of this country want to go that route, then they really should understand, Art, what it means. Here's what it means. It means very slow economic growth, very high taxes, very high unemployment, and jobs that are very difficult to find, and money and capital leaving that country. And we have lots of it. We have now 30 or 40 years of evidence. Look at what's going on in Greece. Look at what's going on in Spain or Portugal or France. Is that they have finally come to the fact that they are not generating enough tax revenues, because they've driven businesses offshore, enough tax revenues to pay for a huge and growing public sector. We've been going down that path. We're not there yet, but we need to make a fundamental decision in this country. Do we want to look like that, or look like a free market system here where it's cheaper to do business, cheaper to live, jobs are more plentiful, we have higher standards of living, more prosperity, and more freedom? I think the American people are going to choose the latter route, and that's why I would love to go to Washington to help us put us on that path.
Let's see if we can work in a couple more really quickly here to Woolwich and Scott. Hi, Scott. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question was, Bruce had mentioned strong support for nuclear power, and in its whole history, nuclear power has never been viable without large government subsidies, and doesn't look to be viable in any time soon without large government subsidies. So I was wondering how he squared his true conservative claim with supporting an industry that will always be on the public dole.
Scott, it's a real good question. Thanks for asking it. My response was specifically about the form of energy. When we had, for example, Maine Yankee power up in Wiscasset, we were generating energy for roughly 1.7 cents per kilowatt hour. It employed, Maine Yankee employed about 600 workers with good benefits, paid about 95% of the town of Wiscasset's tax bill, and again, less than 2 cents a kilowatt hour. We're now paying here in the state of Maine about 15 and a half cents per kilowatt hour. So my point when we talked, Scott, was about what about the form of energy? Now, when it comes to subsidies, I do not believe that industry should be subsidized, regardless of the industry. When that happens, what the government is doing is picking winners and losers. And we know the government has a horrible track record in picking winners and losers, whether it be in Washington or in the state of Maine.
We have another listener asking about the waste issue as well. That has not been solved with respect to high-level nuclear waste.
With all due respect, Keith, if you look at what's going on in Germany and France, they've been recycling nuclear waste there for years. So a 50-gallon drum is now the size of a Coke can when it comes to waste. They just keep recycling it. And so that can be done here in America. The technology has been around for a very long period of time. We just need to let it happen.
All right. And with that, unfortunately, we are out of time. Bruce Paul.
Keith,
go ahead. One last
word. No, I just want to thank you very much for this opportunity. I really enjoyed it. I could do this for another 3 hours. This is a lot of fun and very important.
Well, always leave them wanting more, right?
Good stuff.
Bruce Poliquin, State Treasurer, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. You can listen to our other Your Vote 2012 interviews by visiting our Facebook page or by going to mpbn.net. Today's program was produced by Jonathan Smith. Our volunteer Scott McAuliffe answered your calls. John Keimel ran the board. We had additional help from the MPBN web team. I'm Keith Shortall. You've been listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.